Well, good morning. It's great being here again, and I'm just very thankful for my friend Mark that he's willing to give me the opportunity to come and preach. And Mark and I, for those of you who don't know, we've been friends for so long. I don't even know how long we've known each other. And we've just been very dear friends for a long time. So I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You have a very great pastor here, and I just encourage you to encourage him. As I'm sure there's days he's a little trying, and you're a little going, boy, he's going a little crazy here today. Just give him grace, too. And I encourage you to pray for Mark and Caroline and any of their family that they're off on vacation here over the next couple weeks. So let's get started and turn this completely over to God. So let's start with a word of prayer as we get started with the message today. Lord God, we come before you thanking you for just how much you love us. God, we thank you for the good gifts that you give. We thank you that you are God and that we are not, and that we can put all of our faith and hope and trust in you. Thank you, God, that you're making your presence known even now here. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, hearts to hear, open up our minds to receive the message that you desire each one of us to hear. And I pray that we would put into action what we're hearing. Lord, we thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So before I get started, I'd just like to let you all know the title of the message is The Way Forward is Back. And if you follow me at all, whether it's on social media or through the radio program or whatever, you know that that's a phrase that I've been sharing for a very long time. And since I feel connected to this congregation, I wanted to be, well, sharing with you for the first time in public to dig deeper into The Way Forward is Back. What does that really mean? And so I just thank you for allowing me to do this. And when Mark told me and asked me if I could preach this Sunday, I was really excited because tomorrow we'll be selling the independence of our nation. And I'm just excited to share with you what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart for a very long time now. Friends, where do morals come from? Many today try to say it comes from you or them as an individual. We've all heard the phrase and have been slowly over time have been taught that you should live out your truth, or someone can live out their truth. That each person creates their own morals for life. And that we can all just live in harmony by you living your life and someone else living their life. Well, there is a bit of truth in this, but there's also a lot of falsehood in it as well. It is, in fact, a lie that many of us over time, and dare I say, even in this very room, have bought into. Over the next few minutes, I would ask that you please hear this message and be open to consider what is being shared, not only for the possibility of your own spiritual growth, but for the spiritual growth of others as well. So before we move forward, let's pray one more time. God, as we truly are beginning this message, us hearing it, some of us for the very first time, I pray, God, that you'd open up our hearts, our ears, our minds to what you'll be sharing. And I pray, God, that you would help empty me out and fill me up with you, Holy Spirit. And I pray in Jesus' name that none of me is in this. God, we thank you for how good you are. And we thank you that you love us. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. The following quote is from George Washington. He said this: "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." In light of atheists and agnostics telling me for years that you don't need God to be good, or that people can be good without God, it looks like even George Washington would disagree with those ideas. I would also encourage you to ask yourself the following questions. If there is no creator God who sets natural law into order, who makes up the rules for living? If it is a person, how do they know what good really is without a set foundation already being instituted? Friends, we see in John 1 who Jesus Christ really is. John 1, right at the beginning of the book, starting in verse 1, we see, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, where it says the Word, that's really Jesus. So I'm going to insert the word Jesus as we're reading this and you're following along, okay? "In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." Jesus was with God in the beginning. "Through him all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let's drop down to verse 14 in chapter 1 in the book of John. It says this: "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." With that said, we also see in Colossians 1 who this Jesus really is. So Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, the Son, Jesus. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. He's before all things. And in Jesus, all things hold together. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So, friends, according to the New Testament, Jesus Christ is Creator God that we find in the Old Testament. He is Almighty God. He is the one that instituted and established how this creation works. And friends, these are not suggestions. He established how this creation works, and he knows that things that will work, and he knows the things that won't work. God did this. Humans did not. So, now it's up to us as humans to either surrender to God or to defy and reject him and his truth. His truth. Friends, I'll be sharing some things here that the Creator, Jesus Christ, instituted. And before I move on, I want you to know this is not my opinion. This is not from me at all. I'm going to be sharing with you directly from Scripture. So if you have any issues, and I'm guessing some of you are going to have issues, if you have any issues with what's about to be shared, go to God. You don't need to come to me. I'm willing to talk to you about it. But this is what God established. So you can either accept it or deny it. Please don't shoot the messenger. This is the message, okay? Number one, marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Genesis 2, 22 through 25 states, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Number two, we are to wear clothing to cover up our nakedness. Friends, this is a gift from God. No offense, I really don't want to see any of you naked anyway. This is a gift from God. Let's find out how. Genesis 3, 9 through 11. "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' And we see in Genesis 3:21, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." Friends, God instituted clothing. Number three, sex is primarily meant for procreation inside of a marriage with one man and one woman. Genesis 4, 1 and 2. "The man was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, 'I have made a male child with the Lord's help.' She also gave birth to his brother Abel." Number four, God wants to have a relationship with us. We see in Genesis 3, 8 and 9. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Friends, we broke that relationship by being selfish and going into rebellion against Almighty God. Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with his creation so badly that he came to earth in the form of a human and lived the perfect life and paid the price of death that you and I deserve, so that we can surrender our lives to him and spend eternity with him. Or we can defy and reject him, and we can spend eternity completely separated from him if we so choose. Friends, he loves us that much. I know some of you are going, "What? That's love?" Yes, because you have free will. Yes, God is in complete control, but somehow he's also given us free will. That's how much he loves you. If you don't want to be with him, you don't have to be. You can do your own thing. He allows us to reap the consequence of denying him. If we want to be with him, then he allows us the benefit and reap that as well. Friends, he offers each and every person the free gift of eternal life with him. And he allows us the opportunity then to work out our salvation so we can grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's just incredible. What I also find incredible is that we all, every single one of us, sees the evidence of design and intelligence all around us in nature. It's everywhere. Yet people deny the existence of a creator, especially if it's in regard to Almighty God of the Bible as creator. Friends, we see this happening on social media all over today and even in our daily lives. Friends, people who claim to be atheists, agnostics, they'll stand up for false teachings in other religions besides Christianity. Friends, I just saw something today, as a matter of fact, where a teacher had posted something saying, oh, we can pray with our kids, with our children that we have in our classes. Get your pentagrams ready. Get your prayer rugs ready. Get anything but the Bible. Anything but the God of the Bible. We have to be honest with ourselves of what is going on today. Friends, in people's minds, in many people's minds today, it just cannot be accepted if it is from the Bible. Friends, it is just one reason. It's just one of the many reasons why in some people's minds the foundational beliefs of our nation need to be replaced with something else. When all the while what really needs to happen is a return back to what we were founded upon. The way forward is back. We've got to be willing to get back to the biblical principles that God instituted. Now, I'm going to take a little side note here. For those of you going, oh, you're all about the patriarchy and the white man. No. I'm about the Bible. These are God's instituted things, not Jason's. We need to get back to biblical principles. And before you go, yeah, I know Joe. Please look at yourself. Please, for the love of all things holy, you can only work on you. You can't make anyone else do anything. As I conclude this week's message, please know that Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you. Wherever you're at in that relationship. Some of you may not know Jesus at all. He's over there going, hey, how about if we have a cup of coffee? Hey, how about you? Can I take you out? He just wants to get to know you. He wants you to get to know him. Others of you, you have a relationship with Jesus. And he's going, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Stop running away from going deeper. Let Jesus change you. He desires for you to follow him and live out his ways. And to do that in the life that he's given to you. I encourage you to begin living for him in all your ways today. When you're tempted to fall away, and let's be honest, we're all tempted. Jesus was tempted. And you want to do your ways, you're tempted to do your ways over God's ways, don't fall for the trick and don't fall for the confusion. Now, if you do, God, I'm so sorry, will you forgive me? Messed up. I want to go your way, and I didn't. Start again. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says this. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That is Ecclesiastes 1:9. Turn it over to God, friends. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you that you've made the way back to the Father, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help each one of us to start living out your ways in all that we do. Help us to understand what it means to move forward, that we need to get back to living your ways. Not our ways. Not some wise man's ways that maybe we don't even know too well, but seems wise. God, help us to go your way. Not only help us to remember the way forward is back, but help us to live it out. I lift this up in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Friends, as we wrap up today, I just want to remind you, pretty much everybody wants to move forward. It doesn't matter where you are in this week. We all want to have good things. We all really want to move forward. That's something we definitely have in common. As Christians, let's remember, the way forward, it's got to get back to godly principles. Sure, in society, but in your own life. Don't be afraid to put it into action today. And again, I encourage you to celebrate and celebrate well tomorrow, the independence of our nation. I have two blog posts over here I'd like to direct you to. One's called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. The order matters. And one other one called Stealing Your Capital from God. Many people today think they've found the answer, think they have good and right things. The problem is they've taken things from God, stolen things that are of God, and then twisted it all up to be what they want it to be. They've stolen their capital from God. Many people today think they're flying, when really what they're doing is they're standing on the shoulders of giants that have gone before us and have put things in place for us. We need to honor those of the past. We need to respect them. So I encourage you, look to God and put his ways into action. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, it's called Worldview Warriors. Worldviewwarriors.org is where you can find us tonight. I'm on 90.1 FM out of Upper Sandusky every Sunday, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock for Do Not Keep Silent. You can also find donotkeepsilent.com as well. We encourage you to come join us in what we're doing in the ministry. As you leave on the right, there are some resources available for you about more about the ministry. There's a great sticker there. You take those, are free. It says, for such a time as this. I encourage you to put it somewhere for you to look at. As a reminder, maybe where you do your makeup, ladies. Men, maybe you can put it on your nightstand as you wake up. Okay, I've been raised for such a time as this. Friends, we need to live out for Christ in all that we do. Be blessed and go God's way. We'll see you next time.